We live in a world where we are not always nice to each other. We each have our own biases, prejudices, and all too often others experience them as they influence how we treat each other, whether we are intentional or not. It could be anything, something as trivial as haircuts, or something as major as race or personal orientation. The Ethiopian in today's Acts text may have had such problems in his interactions. He's in a powerful position. Indeed, he is important enough to have his own chariot and driver, with enough room that he and Philip can sit and talk as the chariot is driven. This means some degree of wealth, particularly since the text tells us that he's an important aide, the treasurer, for the queen of Ethiopia. So it would not be a surprise if he sets himself apart so that others will not take advantage of him. He's also a eunuch. And though we have Jesus telling us that this could mean one of three things, let's take it at face value. He's a eunuch in the dictionary meaning. That seems reasonable since in that period, and into the 19th, if not the 20th century, eunuchs were relied upon by leaders in the East, since it was assumed that they would not have a personal agenda and were trustworthy. So we have a man who may feel very alone. By definition, he has no family. Based on the specific mandate in Deuteronomy, he can never be part of the assembly of Israel. We can wonder about his reception in Jerusalem, although my guess is that the temple authorities in that time would have ignored his physical condition and happily taken his money for offerings. Based on this pilgrimage to Jerusalem and the fact that he seems to own a scroll of the book of Isaiah, he seems to be a serious God-fearer, searching for God and meaning. Interestingly, he's reading Isaiah, the messianic section, but Isaiah is also the book that affirms God's embrace of faithful eunuchs, despite the prohibitions in Deuteronomy. He wonders about the meaning of the text, and it is by divine plan that Philip finds him at that moment to help lead him. Philip does what he's come to do, spends time and assists the eunuch in interpreting the text from the Christian perspective. Somewhere in this, Philip must have spoken of baptism, and by divine hand, there is water, and the eunuch seeks immediate baptism. The gospel has taken hold in this man's heart and soul. Now, while ritual bathing exists in Judaism, baptism is unique to Christianity. That the eunuch requests this underscores the importance of the good news to him and the impact of Philip's time with him. Now, in our gospel text, Jesus tells the disciples that he is the true vine and that the Father is the vine dresser. People are the branches. We're the branches. So first, if we are branches from the true vine, then this underscores the model we should follow in our faith, Christ. We do not look to our culture and relate everything to it. We look to Christ alone. Second, this week I remembered a camping trip Linda and I made to a place in the Blue Ridge named Peaks of Otter. There is a Park Service lodge there, plus a pond and campsites, and one feature nearby is an old Johnson family farm. This one functioned until the Depression and was finally sold for development at the beginning of the war. Linda and I visited the farm and walked trails in the area that were part of the farm. Along the way, we found the remains of a small orchard. The forest had closed in, but there was enough light for the apples to survive. But the trees hadn't been maintained, likely since the 1920s. They were unpruned and the apples were small, though tasty. We know well that for a fruiting bush or tree to prosper, it must be pruned and the encroaching forest kept at bay. Up the hill behind the cabin, our cabin, is the old Buck Farm. Now, when I was a kid, Claude Mace took us up there to pick apples for cider, and the farmstead was relatively open and the lilac bush bloomed gloriously. But just as at the family Johnson farm, the woods closed in on the Buck Farm, and what remains of the planting is just the lilac, which I've tried to nurture for the sake of sentiment. So with the vine comes the vine dresser, or in our terms, a gardener, in the case of the Buck Place and the lilac me. And he or she has to keep pruning the plant to keep it, help it flourish, plus take care of the encroachment of other plants that would kill the garden. God, the vine dresser, keeps watch over the branches and prunes them so that the plant can produce the fruit he intends. Just as I give anthropomorphic qualities to plants in our yard, so we may be taken back at the notion that God may be pruning us. But isn't that what we need and really want? That the aspects of our lives that don't glorify God are better pruned than left, in order to better encourage those aspects which do glorify Him. And we should note that the branches that we prune in our yards are removed, that the garden would be more fruitful. Isn't that what we want of ourselves in our lives? Finally, the epistle text, John sums things up well. It's all about love, the love that God has for us and models for us to apply to each other. Now, how do we translate that Christ-given mandate to love each other into our own lives? Well, as we talked about last week, one approach would be to list what love would not have. We experienced what I would call a typical event yesterday as we drove past Tilton's. We were approaching from the east and other cars from the west when a car parked by the post office decided it was important to immediately take a spot at Tilton's. This required that vehicle to first head at us and then cut off the vehicle approaching from the other direction. For a moment, I thought we would see an outbreak of road rage. As the cutoff car leaned on its horn and necessarily stopped. What went through my mind was that the driver cutting in front of both lanes cared only about his goal of getting a parking spot before anyone else could. It was all about him and no one else, not to speak of safety. How often are we, in one form or another, that self-absorbed driver, caring nothing about anything except our own agenda? Or do we consider others as we sort out what we're planning to do? Do we consider the impact, for example, of our words? Perhaps the eunuch in the Acts text knows that much of the world is ephemeral, blown on the wind and blown away just as quickly. Perhaps he realized that for all his wealth and position, he had nothing of true substance. It certainly reads that the text, amplified by Philip, spoke to him, perhaps conveying to him that his value was beyond keeping the books for the queen, that he, as one of God's children, had that foundation and important value that only the Creator could provide, that he had been covered by God's grace in Christ, and could be that person of the Creator and not just a queen. The plight of the eunuch reminded me of something written by the folks of the 20 Schemes Project in Scotland. Jesus, are you there? Jesus, do you care? Can your blood, your grace cover me? Jesus, are you there? Do you care? Was your cross, your death enough for me? This could have been very much like the question the eunuch was asking. Am I too sinful for God to reach out for me? Am I too sinful for God's grace to reach and cover me? And those are the questions we may ask ourselves. And we know the answers. Yes, he cares, and yes, his grace is enough. More than enough to cover us. So today we have the gospel being fully shared with someone as foreign as they come, in order that God may be glorified. We are the branches being tended for the same reason. And the epistle tells us that the end result for us as his people is that we should show love for each other. Indeed, how can we be his people if we do not express to each other the love that God has called us to? Think about this in your daily life. What pieces of it don't glorify God? Should they be pruned off? Is there an attractiveness to gossip, to talk out of school about people? Is there an attractiveness to be judgmental about others? Do we dismiss others who are unlike ourselves? How exactly do we convey God's love to others? We cannot possibly do this ourselves, but we can by God's grace alone, in faith alone, in Christ alone, guided by Scripture alone, so that every moment we can give all glory to God alone. Soli Deo Gloria. Amen.